one of the things that I know is going to be great for the beginning of this that you will do much better than I ever would is pronounce your names. Because I've played a lot of Scandinavian bands, and I am known for absolutely butchering and destroying the names. Now, maybe you destroy American names.
Maybe. Yeah.
Although I don't know how you know Smith, Jones,
Smith,
O'Brien. I don't know how you mess those up.
Yeah, we can mess things up if you like.
Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes. My name is Jeroen. You need my last name too?
It doesn't matter. How are you?
Yeah, I'll do my last name too for the whole experience. My name is Jeroen van der Werken, and I'm in Anderson, or Anderson, as we say it in the
Netherlands. Anderson.
Yes,
that's right.
My name is Bas van Nienes, and that sounds, that's I guess. I play in Anderson.
You are not going to ask me to repeat that, though.
No?
There won't be a
tests. Okay, I won't.
So I know that you started in 2004 with two acoustic guitars. And it's come a long way in 5 years, so I'm going to let you two kind of take it from there, because I certainly what I'm hearing is a little further than two guys who met with two acoustic guitars and decided to play songs.
True.
So yeah. take me through what's happened from the... So you had the two acoustic guitars and you said, oh, we'll write some songs together, but there's obviously a lot more than that.
True, true. Well, we actually met at a campsite, like camping out in the Netherlands. And so that was it. We both had our guitars with us.
So this was an around the campfire thing?
sort of.
It was, yeah, like in the beginning it was like that.
Like how John Denver started, you know?
John, for all the ref, okay.
No, this is a stupid joke. No, we actually we met on a youth camp.
On a thing. Youth camp? Camp. It wasn't a youth camp.
Oh, wasn't it a youth, no.
It was 5 years, I wasn't a child anymore, but... It was kind of fun. Meeting around the campfire. Yeah, it was basically like it. Yeah.
And we knew each other from other bands, because Jeroen was playing in different bands, and I already knew his face and his music.
Really bad bands.
Yeah.
Bad high school bands.
Bad high school bands. So we decided to just get together, and the first song we wrote together was... Turned out great, I think. So we decided, well, let's just keep on writing songs and playing music.
But this is the first release here in the U.S. It is not the first release that you've had. You've had other releases. So this is just a month old, but it's getting quite the great reaction already. So it's all very new to you. Is it kind of strange for you to come here and know that you've got something brand new?
Yeah, in a way it is, yeah. Because we've, of course, obviously been working with this band for a couple of years, and we've been, growing it from just starting together, writing basically melodies and lyrics and chords to... making it more, the sound it is now. And that's the first thing people hear from us right now. So for a lot of people, it's really hard to even imagine us sitting there with two guitars if they hear the stuff there, if they listen to our new record. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Tell me about the Bensons. I know the Bensons write a lot of postcards, a lot of postcards. In fact, at least my tracks here, they've written at least 11 interesting postcards. So tell me when you sat down, because, and we'll get to the first album, in a little while, but I'm kind of intrigued about the Bensons. How did you sit down and come up with the Bensons?
Yeah, we sort of, they kind of came up along the process of writing the record. So they weren't there right in the beginning, but when we were like sitting and writing and thinking, they sort of came up. We wrote a song called Mr. and Mrs. Benson, and it was a sort of in-between song. It was in between the first album and the second one, and we released it on a Japanese version of our first album. And we can let go of them. I think like it was a song about a married couple, and they did a lot of charity, a lot of good things for the world, but for the sake of their own, basically, to get a lot of fulfillment out of that, to feel better. Yeah.
So, and we were really intrigued by the whole family thing. Like everybody, it's really familiar, of course, to everybody. Like, so we also like when we write songs to keep it real personal. So we thought, well, family is personal. So yeah, it kind of through the whole writing process, just the Benson family, they just were born, and we were like.
They were born. Yes.
They were born in our creativity. We just, and then, yeah, we thought, well, this is cool. Let's let this family, make this family alive.
This family lives.
Yeah.
And I saw, and it's funny, I was telling your partner in crime that your record label needs to send me the real thing, but they sent me this way in advance. So I've had this for quite a while.
Okay.
Which is good, you know. But I've certainly seen pictures, and I know that it contains actual postcards, but only for the first 2,000 releases. So that's expensive. Was it your idea to do that, or did the record company turn around and say, maybe we could actually make people in this day and age buy real live CDs if we give them something to make it worthwhile? Was that kind of the plan?
Yeah, that was our idea behind this. Behind it, to make something that's really pretty, so people will think, well, we will buy the CD because the artwork is so nice and so thought of. So,
but also for the sake of making the record come alive, like out of an artistic point of view, we really like the idea, and we work closely together with a designer who's a good friend of us who also did our first album, and we were really thinking of making something special out of it because we put so much energy in. Writing the songs, writing the lyrics, and thinking of like what should this album be like. So we're like, well, why don't we put the same amount of energy in the packaging and the way it looks, because it's a whole experience, we think.
And the single, I assume it's the single, of course, is Trevor on the Dance Floor, and I watched the video and. Tell me a little bit about the song, because from what I get, it's designed to be a little bit of a commentary on the importance of the entire club scene. Would that be kind of where you're going there?
Kind of, yeah. You can look at it that way. You can look at it multiple ways, I think. For us, it was inspired also by ourselves and also by, I think how important it is, like how things look, how people move, how... importance of music even. We think of ourselves as really bad dancers, but that's cool, you know. It's I think it's good to express yourself in a certain way, and if you're okay with that, even though it might look funny to other people, it's about being yourself. The song, basically.
but it was really interesting because I was playing it, and then the next day, of course, we had a historic event. And the lyrics of that song became even more. So it must be interesting because it's just, you know, I've played it for a while, but it's just going to start getting airplay and video play and all of that here. And I would imagine it's really going to touch people that you kind of used, you know, that as an example in the song.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that must have hit you when that happened. You must have said, "Wow, you know, we've put out something new and very recent, but kind of iconic in a way, right?"
Yeah. It was kind of funny. Like when we were here the first day, we saw the whole Michael Jackson thing on television, and that night we were doing a show, and I played that song, and like you said, like one line in there is. Just like Michael does the moonwalk, so it kind of struck us, and I was like, "Well,
you were wondering what kind of reaction you were going to get based on the current."
But a lot of people were, they seem to enjoy the song and were dancing and stuff. So I guess
people seem to enjoy that line even more now. That's
true. Even more now.
Like
yeah.
People like, "Hey,
that sounds familiar."
It sounds familiar. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think anybody would turn around and saying that you put that line in the song to be opportunists. Certainly not.
Definitely not.
One would hope not. So let's see. I'm looking at the record. Who else on here? You know, I mean, Napoleon. You know, because we've got some pretty normal names in here. We've got Lewis and, you know, Sylvester. And then there's Napoleon. It's you in the spotlight. So tell me about Napoleon.
Well, Napoleon was inspired on a movie we saw. It's a pretty old movie. It's Napoleon Dynamite. It's like an old couple of years. But and we like the Trevor on the dance floor, and Napoleon has this.
They're related. They're brothers.
Yeah, they have the same. They have the same attitude or the same. They're kind of
same naive way of
looking at the world, and Napoleon. Yeah, we just so loved that movie that we thought, well, let's just write a song about it because he's such a sweet guy and he's trying to do everything right, but he's totally like, I don't know, naive and ignorant to the people around him. So in a way, we are too. So I guess it's also a song about us, of course.
And then there's Sarah. Poor Sarah is disconnected from the rest of the family, huh?
Yeah, she's far away, and she decided to just get rid of the family. You can see it in that way, and just leave things behind her and
go her own way.
Go her own way, like some families are falling apart, and so that's kind of it's not a sad song, but it's a more serious song about how we can. Feel about our own family.
Do you collect synthesizers or other gear and strange sounds and stuff? I have this funny feeling. It was never, I mean, I haven't like had a chance to read any major interviews with, but I just have this funny feeling that you guys geek out and collect some interesting stuff to make sounds. Would I be correct there?
Yeah, I guess you're totally right. We kind of synthesizer geeks, and we especially love like old vintage synthesizers, and we're always on the look on eBay and try to find like different Russian crazy.
Russian, wow. Russian. Are there weird Russian? Now that's funny.
Yeah, definitely. There.
I can imagine they were probably trying to do something called the Moog, but it was, you know, the Moog, but it was probably called the Moo.
Yeah. We're looking for weird stuff, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff that looks weird and sounds weird. And I mean, we're basically looking for things that have kind
character.
Of they have character, yeah. So not necessarily like really new stuff, but usually things that look old, that look worn
out.
Yeah, like it's been there for ages or.
But things you can play with and make new sounds out of, or sounds that other people wouldn't have, because there aren't really a lot of Russian pop bands.
No,
not a lot of Russian.
No,
and you know what would be really funny is to try to get a hold of the material that those synthesizers were used for.
Yeah.
Imagine some of that strange stuff.
would be cool to find like great Russian electronic artists somewhere.
Yeah, I'm not sure there were any.
No.
But do you think that there's any way that people can turn around and say, oh, well, you know, we can tell they're from, you know, from here?
I don't know. Yeah, you might be right that there's not really a thing as a Dutch sound, because there's, frankly, there's not too many Dutch bands that are well known. There was this, like, we have like famous DJs, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they have their own sound. I'm not really too into that, but it's. In that direction, there's like some world famous people, but not in pop music. Like there's from Sweden, there's a lot of music in that direction. Not from the Netherlands.
No. It's a bummer.
It's a bummer. yeah. It should be more good music from the Netherlands. I mean, there's good music, but it's all pretty underground and not being picked out by or released.
That's what I had heard. That there's a huge scene. But it somehow, and it's interesting because, you know, so many countries, it you know, other than Russia, by the way, you know, it does sneak out.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just that good that maybe we just have to go all, you know, go over there to experience it.
Yeah.
So I've invented this thing called a musical sandwich. And what that is two of your songs is the bread. And then songs by other artists in between, and pretty much anyone else that you want to play.